Amen. All right. Get me on here, brother.
Do that while I'm turning this thing on.
One, two. Test 10. Amen. Amen. All right. Let's get our Bibles this open this evening. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is one of the great chapters of the New Testament. It really, really is. Tremendous chapter. And I didn't mention our Virginia trip a minute ago, but we're getting signed up for it. We always have 25, 30 go and have a real good time. What they do is they charge us $42 a night for a motel. So when you put, 40 kids in a room, it ain't but a dollar and something a piece. So it turns out to be pretty cheap. And we do cram them in there pretty tight. It's fun. And we're going, there's a swimming pool and restaurants around. But the main thing is there's some pitiful little kids that need the Lord. I mean pitiful. My heart just goes out to them. Every time I go up there, I want to start a bus route. It was a mountain. You go down through there, and there's little kids running out in the road, and they're just that high. We picked up about five of them, put them in my 4Runner last year, and this little girl about that big, and they said, well, we've been playing in the creek all day. And I said, boy, that's a blessing. The little kid, I mean, little 100 miles from nowhere. There ain't no town or nothing. And she said, yeah, and he got some rocks and dammed it up. And I don't know if that's a word or not, dammed it up. That don't sound good. But you know what she meant by, I guess we all did that growing up. You dam up the creek, try to make it get a little deeper. How many ever done that when you was growing up? Try to make it a little deeper so you can swim. But it don't never work, Rocks fall and it goes through them. Then it comes rain, washes it all away. But they're pitiful. They're pitiful. They really are. And we try to reach some of them, and they're back in the sticks. In the sticks. And I'm not exaggerating. So if you want to go, sign up on the paper here. I don't know if that sounded very enticing. But it's a good beneficial trip for the Lord. So let's pray about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want you to look at verse 58 tonight. I know the devil has probably used one of his greatest tools on every person in here, and one of the greatest tools the devil has is discouragement. And if he can get you discouraged in your class, teaching, in your singing, in your anything that you're doing, Bible reading, prayer, if he can get you knocked down, it's just like a fight. It's just like a fight. Now, it's been a long time since I was in a fight. I ain't been in a real fight, I don't think, since I was maybe fifth or sixth grade, I guess. I mean, a real fight where you just duke it out like that. I'm not going to ask y'all when the last time, maybe you was, might be a husband and wife in here, did it last night. But God have mercy on you if you did. But I don't know, how long has it been since you... But, when two people are fighting and one gets the other and knocks, if he can get you knocked down, but they've got the edge on you. And if he can get you down, boy, you've got him, man. You're beaten to death. And that's where the devil do you. The devil will get you. If he can get you down, he'll hit you while you're down. He's a dirty, low-down scoundrel. He don't fight by the rules. The devil don't have... A lot of times we don't understand this because we're people, and we're people, and no matter how mean we are, we sort of feel sorry for you. The devil don't feel sorry for nobody. He has absolutely no compassion on you whatsoever. He just as soon rip your kids up and ruin them and laugh about it. We can't understand that kind of even thinking. The meanest person You can't help but feel sorry for them sometimes. They're a human being. And no matter what they've done, I always have a little pity for them in my heart. But the devil has no pity. He has no compassion at all. Don't let him fool you. He don't care about you. He don't care about your family. He don't care about your kids. The devil has zero compassion on anybody. He is a liar and the father of it. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 58. Tonight,
This is a tremendous verse, and everybody knows it. But I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know tonight, but I just like to encourage you. Wednesday night services sometimes are encouraging. And look at this. Go ahead and read verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. We sing, I shall not be moved. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's a promise in the Bible that if you will continually keep doing what you're supposed to be doing, it's not in vain. God will bless you for it. I got thinking about that lady I told you I picked up yesterday. I felt so sorry for her. She had a bag that looked like a Walmart bag, and everything she owned was in that bag. She's about 40 years old. I said, ma'am, what in the world? What in the world? Boyfriend kicked her out. Had nowhere to go. So I bought her some food and a pair of Go groceries and took her to Joe, and he done something with her. He said he'd give her a motel room for a couple of days. I don't know. Let's pray for her. But I thought about that. And I thought, you know what? The Bible said that we're to abound in the work of the Lord. There's people need help. And I tell you something else. You remember this. There's always somebody worse off than you are. Always. And there's always somebody needing help worse than you need it. So we're going to continue in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain, Lord. Sunday school teacher told me one time, she said, I don't remember exactly how I said it, but something, she said, Brother Danny, I just feel like I'm wasting my time. She said, I study and I pray and I try to get a good Sunday school lesson together. And he said, these little old brats, they don't live. She said, they crawl around in the floor. They kick each other. They pinch. They won't pay attention. And I get this verse right here. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You might have 30 kids in there looking at the ceiling, playing with their cell phones, writing notes, punching each other, giggling, and you might have one little future D.L. Moody sitting right there listening. Don't ever forget that, Sunday school teachers. Don't ever forget that. We seen them years ago. I know Brother Jason, Crystal, some of y'all, Mike, Phyllis, at New Manor and Marion years ago. We had this little boy come to church, and his name was Gary. I don't even remember Gary's last name. Y'all remember little Gary, little quiet Gary. Never said a word. I mean, that boy, I didn't know he could talk. I knew him 5 years, didn't know the man could talk. You remember his last name? No, that's not little Gary. No, that's big Gary. Little Gary. The little Gary. You'd know, yeah, get up in the choir, not even sing. Stand there. Might have been Lewis. Willis, that's it. Gary Willis, that's it. Some of them may be watching tonight. There's people there that watch us every service. You know that. But anyway, old Gary, he come to church. He's about, I guess he is 11 or 12 first time he come to church. And old guy named Boyce Morgan used to pick him up on the bus. And you honestly... He's one of these people that after you left church, if somebody said, was Gary there? You'd say, I don't know. You ever knew people like that? You'd never even know he's there. I don't even know if I knew. He'd been coming 5 years before I even met the guy, probably, or knew his name or shook his hand. He'd just sit there. And boy, we had some other ones. Oh, Lord. I mean, they'd come in just like I do here. They'd come in, push and scream, run up to me. Brother Danny! Blah, blah, blah. I said, y'all go sit down, huh? We knew them very well. And I remember thinking, nothing's going to wind up in prison. And nothing's going to wind up on drugs. And I hate to think that, but you could just tell the way they was going. You know, I had 14, 15 years old. And old Gary, you never even knew he was there. But faithfully. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. I guess old Gary, I guess probably right now he's 40. I guess probably right now it's hard to believe, 30. In his 30s anyway. And he is driving a bus full of kids every Sunday to church. Now their labor, whoever labored with him, it was not in vain. It was not in vain. And that's just what we see in this world. That's just what we see in this world. You wait till we get rid of this world up there. Bible said your labor is not in vain. I put out tracts all over the country. I put out tracts. I've stopped in rest stops in Kentucky and Ohio and Pennsylvania and stuff. And I go in there and I put tracts on the windows and I put tracts on. You know what? There ain't no telling. When we get to heaven, you don't even know. The New Man of Youth Camp. You've heard me tell this before. Lady who told me about the property. She's a business lady, and they were sort of a little bit higher class than most of us rednecks were, and there was just cut above us a little bit, you know. Well, lived in a real nice house, drove a Mercedes, and they started coming to our church, and I couldn't believe it. I could not believe they started coming to our church, and they started coming regular, and honest to goodness, when sort of upper class people come, I'm nervous around them. I don't fit in good with big shots. I can act right, and you know, I've been in them big places where they'd have a table from here to that wall over there with all kinds of shrimp and stuff like that, and you're supposed to know which. They took me to a place in Connecticut and got about three forks. I said, "Why have we got three forks?" Well, this is for your salad and this is for this, and I'd say, again, why do we have three forks? that's just a bunch of stupid stuff. But I can act right if I have to. But I don't feel comfortable around big shots. I'm not a big shot. Don't claim to be. Don't want to be. I don't feel right around them. But anyway, they were pretty big shots, and they came one time, and I asked this lady. I said, "Why'd y'all start coming to our church anyway?" And she said, "Let me tell you a little story, Danny." I said, "Okay." I sat down, and she said, "I was in the bank in Marion one day, doing business and for our business." And she said, "You was in the bank, and she said, you done something in that bank." And she said, "When you did it, God spoke to my heart and said, you need to go over to that church and help him. He needs your help." That's it. I have no idea what it was. Wasn't no great sermon she heard on radio. I have no idea. No idea. I thought, what did I do? Maybe I let somebody in front of me. Maybe I give out of track. I used to be bad. I still do. I used to be bad to pray right out and anywhere. Maybe I stand there saying, "Oh God, here's my bills. Here's my money. Oh God," I might have done something like that. Maybe it was. I have no idea what I done, but whatever I done, or she might have heard me witness to somebody. But I wasn't doing it for show because I didn't even know she saw. And they started coming to our church, and then she took me and showed me the property that the New Man of Youth Camp is on right now, where thousands of people have been saved, and it all started with something I done in the bank. Now you think about that. You're thinking about your daily life. You know, people are watching us. And every little thing you do for the Lord is not in vain. One time, somebody came to church, and they told me, they said, "Brother Danny, I work with this woman, and she said, you scared her to death the other day." And I said, "Who is it?" And they told me, I didn't know who she was. And I said, "What?" She said, "You scared her to death." She said she saw you in a store. It was a clothing store in like Belch or something. She said she saw you in a clothing store in Marion. And she said she passed you and she knew who you was. And she said all of a sudden, she said you just bowed your head and started praying. And I used to do that once in a while. I put tracks in the back of blue jeans and stuff, you know. But you're supposed to put your name on them when you do that. But sometimes somebody would stop me and they'd say, "Pray for so-and-so." And I'd just do it right there. "Oh, God, I pray that you bless." She said, "That woman passed you and you fell down and started praying." She said, "It scared her to death." She said, "She thought that she was going to die today and God had revealed it to you." I didn't even see her. I have no idea who it was. And you know what? When we get to heaven, that's why I tell you, get your bumper sticker and put it on your car, y'all. Put them things on it. Don't be ashamed to do that. Why would you be ashamed? You say, well, they'll take the paint off. That's a lie the devil told you. I'd rather have the paint off than somebody burn in hell forever and ever. I got a Lexus, brother. I got one sitting out there. It's got a bumper sticker on it. I'm fussing at you. You never know. You never know. Now, I'll tell you how to keep it from hurting your car. Take it off every week and wash it and then stick it back on there dry. It'll never hurt it. Be a witness for the Lord. Be a witness. You don't never know. I heard about a man driving down the road. And this man, he's a truck driver, and he saw a bumper sticker on the back of a car, and it said, at the end of the road, you'll meet God. And he got to thinking about it, and pulled over and got saved. You say, well, I don't want people to think I'm a fanatic. It don't matter what people think. If you can get one under conviction, it's worth somebody thinking yourself righteous. Tell them to jump in the lake. Amen? If they can put Al Gore on there and some stupid thing like coexist, surely to the Lord, we can put there's a God, Jesus saves. Amen? You don't know. You don't know how it's going to pay off one of these days. You have no idea how God uses little bitty things like that. And that ain't even what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I wasn't planning on saying none of this. The last 10 minutes was completely not even what I was going to talk about. But I just got talking about it. And I'm thinking, did you know your neighbors watch you? They see your car go down the driveway Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. They're watching you. People are watching you. My neighbors, they know. I stop and this old boy that lives up below me, he's my neighbor, and he's a good old boy. Lord, he looks like Charles Manson. But he's been rough, been in trouble. But I'm telling you, he's as good a neighbor as you possibly want. He'll mow my grass. My lawnmower tore up. I let him use a little spot of land that's ours to put his garden on, about as big as one section of pews here. And I let him put his garden on my land, and he does stuff for me, and we do stuff for each other. He's a good old boy. Well, he's down there working in his garden this evening. I'm coming out to church. I stop. I say, what's going on, Herb? I talked to him there a little bit, and I got to get to church. He told me he used to go to church years ago, and his daddy's a preacher or something like that. But you know what? Your neighbors are watching you. They're watching you. What if I didn't go to church? He'd say, some preacher he is. The ladies that live over my mom's house, people that rent my mom's house, there's a gang of them out there Sunday evening on my way to church Sunday evening. So I just pull over in the driveway, roll the window down. I want them to feel guilty. I think people ought to feel guilty that don't go to church. Really, I do. Anybody ought to be ashamed, don't go. God's been so good to us, let us live here in America. I don't see anybody in here look like you're starving to death. God's been good to us. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves. We won't even get and honor him on Sunday morning or Sunday night and honor God enough to go to church. Good night, people. I put them under conviction. I sure did. And I'm glad I did. I told them, I used to go down the road when we'd have sunrise service on Sunday morning, and I would go down Hoppy Tom and I would push my horn down. For a mile. 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. They raised Cain last night and played their music. And you know, we can wake them up on Sunday morning and say, it's time to go to the house of God. Now, there was probably people got mad at me for that. But you don't never know just being what a little witness might do. You girls that work in a factory. I know you can't go around picking up hitchhikers and stuff. I don't recommend ladies do that. But I tell you what you could do. You could take you just a little verse of scripture, put it on your desk. You know, just something little like that. All things work together for good, them that love God. You never know. A customer might come in there who's just lost somebody in their family, buried somebody. All things work together for good. And it might put a little seed in their heart. There might be somebody here tonight that would just give us a little testimony of just some little bitty something that somebody done that caused you to want to come to church and get right. Maybe there is. If you didn't, you're welcome to right now. But I'm telling you, stuff like that happens. And people, don't ever think, I've heard people say, well, I can't preach like you, and I can't get up there and sing like Jason, and I can't. You don't have to. You don't have to be able to sing like Brother Jason. You don't have to be able to preach like Brother Danny. You don't have to. Just something little. God uses little things. Little as much when God is in it. A track, a witness. I tell people all the time Jesus loves them. All the time. Sometimes they get mad. Sometimes they smile. But most of the time, 90% of the time, people say, thank you. Thank you. I've had bunches of people say, I needed to hear that. Because the devil will make them see all their problems, and they forget about the Lord, and they forget about church and everything. If you can just say the Lord loves you, and he wants to help you, sometimes that'll ring a bell in somebody's heart. So do that, y'all. I mean, do something little. It don't cost you nothing. It don't cost you a dime to tell somebody that Jesus loves them. It don't cost you nothing to just talk about the Lord and be a witness to some people. You say, well, is it going to be worth it? Yes, it will. I believe every bit of sorrow and heartache and suffering that we've gone through in this world, it'll be worth it when we see Jesus. Boy, I love that song we used to sing. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. My goodness, life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Man, I'm telling you, that's some words there, boy. I'm telling you, it's just a short while. It'll be worth all the sorrow. It'll be worth all the disappointments. Every time that you've invited, I tell you what's disappointing to me, is people promise you that they'll come to church, and then they don't show up. Boy, especially at youth rally, a camp meeting, and boy, you begged them all. You said, and I've had people come to me, Brother Danny, I got five people coming, and my sister's coming, and my mama's coming, and then they don't come. Man, that's discouraging. You think, you know, and the devil just laughed. Well, let me tell you something right now. If you did your best, God will reward you one day when we get to heaven just as if they would have come. Amen? We are not responsible for people's actions. We're responsible for our reaction. We can't help what somebody else does, but we can help how we act about it. And brother, it'll be worth the disappointments. Sometimes you're disappointed. Sometimes you're disappointed. You can get disappointed serving God. Boy, I tell you, the devil will take advantage of a situation, and man, it's disappointing. And sometimes you think, good night, Lord. You won't let up on me ever? But you just remember this, your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Your labor's not in vain. If you start majoring on the bad parts and forgetting all the good stuff, the devil's got his foot in the door in your life. You keep your eyes on the good things God has done and off of the sorry things the devil's done, and you can do a whole lot better. The way the devil gets in your life is he makes you look at, it's just like you husbands and wives. You know what he'll make you do? He'll keep you just looking at their faults, their faults, their faults, their faults, the bad things about them, and everybody's got them. You know what made you fall in love? All you seen was their good points, their good points. They're good points. Mama tried to tell you. You see that fault? He ain't got no faults, Mama. Look, blind. Did you see what they did? But Mama, he's perfect. You fell in love by thinking about his good part. You fall out of love by thinking about the good. And the same thing's true in church. You fall in love with going to church when you say, boy, it's good. And the choir's saying, glory to God. People got saved. Good preaching and everything. But when you start looking at the bad little things, and there are bad things in every church. There are disappointing things in every church. There are disappointing things in every Christian. That's when the devil starts getting his foot in your life. So keep your eyes on the good things, y'all. Sometimes it is disappointing. Man, I'm telling you, I dreaded Sunday morning. I hate holidays. I hate the 4th of July. I hate to say I hate Christmas, but I mean when I say that. I love Christmas, but people's gone, and I hate it. I hate it when the bus numbers are down and so many people's gone. I don't blame you for going on vacation. I don't. I just don't think you ought to do it on Sunday unless you have to. Once in a blue moon, once in 40 blue moons. But it's discouraging. It's discouraging. And the devil will use it. Boy, I like Easter Sunday morning, you know, when a place is packed, and you know. So you got to look at the good parts the Lord's doing, and the bad things the devil's doing. That's what you got to do. You're welcome to comment if you'd like to. I'm gonna say a couple more things, and we're gonna be done. It'll be worth it when you think about this. If you're sitting here thinking tonight, say, "Oh boy, I've worked hard all day, and can't even hardly pay my bills, and I'm trying to go to church. Lord, is this really doing any good?" Well, I tell you what you do. You leave here tonight, instead of going home and eating, go by Grace Hospital and go on some of them floors and just walk down and look in there. Room, 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 room. Go down to Winston-Salem at the Baptist Hospital and see little kids laying in there, 5 and 6 years old, and their head shaved from the chemo, or not shaved, they lost their hair from chemo, and tubes running down there. And they say, "Mama, Mama, it's hurt. Mama is hurting. Mama, it's hurting." And Mama lives at the hospital. And then you'll thank God you can bring your kids to a Wednesday night Bible class. Amen. Amen, amen, brother. Amen. You better. The devil will make you think, "Poor little old you. Oh, how pitiful you are. The great sacrifice you're making by reading your Bible." Listen. Boy, we ought to be thankful. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Sometimes you need to go to the hospital or the rest home. Man, we went down there to see Bo them a few times, and I was looking at him, man, laying there 36 years old, and I was sitting there thinking, "Lord, whew, I ought to be shouting my fool head off. There's no reason in the world why that shouldn't be me instead of him. No reason in the world. I didn't live no better life than Bo, and you ain't either. Ain't a reason in the world we should say, boy, I'm so glad, I'm so wonderful. That couldn't. You ought to just, you better thank God for your health, and you better thank God for you feeling good, because you can lose it just like that. And one of the worst sins in the whole Bible is complaining, murmuring, and complaining. Read it. You read in the Old Testament. God got more angry with people griping than just about any other sin. Because he looks at, man, I brought you out of Egypt. I fed you with manna for 40 years, fell out of the sky. I got you out of Pharaoh's bondage. I'm taking you into Canaan land. You shut your little griping mouth, you little ungrateful bunch of brats. That's Hebrew. But it says that in the Old Testament. That's what he meant. That's what he meant. I mean, he about wiped them off the face of the earth a couple of times, but Moses stepped in there and prayed for them. And one of the worst things a Christian can do is sit around and think, "Poor me. Ain't I pitiful?" Man, I'm telling you, if you've had something to eat today, and you've got a good place to sleep at night, and your family's saved, and you're living in America, and got a King James Bible, you ain't got nothing to complain about. Absolutely nothing. I mean, things may not be great for us. Things ain't great for me. Things may not be great for you. I'll tell you one thing. We ain't got no reason to gripe, do we? Amen. Amen. We got a reason to shout. We got a reason to shout. I'll talk just a couple more things here, and I'm going to let you go. The physical sufferings. I think about Fanny Crosby. And Fanny Crosby was born in New York in 1820. And when she was 6 weeks old, she got a real bad cold, and some doctors had the wrong mess and put something in her eyes for a cold, and it blinded her. So she's blind her whole life. She could never remember seeing 6 weeks old. And she worked in New Jersey's Institution for the Blind for years and years and years. She didn't get saved until she was, I can't remember, but it wasn't, she didn't get saved when she was a little girl. She was 20s, early, late 20s, something like that. And old Fanny Crosby got saved, and she began to write songs. And she wrote, "To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son." Can you imagine writing that? That's like something that's in the Bible. I mean, you could tell me that's in Psalms and you'd believe it. You know? I mean, she wrote this. She wrote this. "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation." Listen to this. She wrote, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock and covers me there with his hand. Son, that's getting on up there, bud. That's up there in the realm. This stupid music we got nowadays can't touch it. Like rap music and rock. Lord have mercy. That's lofty. That's high church music. And I don't mean big shot. I mean that's heavenly. That's heavenly. She wrote those songs like that. And you know what? She never seen nothing. She never seen nothing. And she wrote 8,000 songs. 8,000. John Lennon and Paul McCartney couldn't touch Fanny Crosby. Couldn't touch her. Dolly Parton, she way down there to Fanny Crosby as far as songwriting. And they asked Fanny Crosby one time, they said, ain't you sort of mad that they blinded you and you ain't never seen nothing? You don't get to see the trees and the flowers and the beauty of the world and the waterfalls and the leaves changing colors and flowers. And she said, nope. She said, it don't bother me a bit. She said, you know, I'm kind of glad I can't see this world. And they said, really? Why? She said, because y'all have to see all the sorrow and the sin and everything. And she said, think about it. The first thing I'll ever see is Jesus Christ. That's a pretty good way to look at it, ain't it? Lord have mercy. What if you'd never... I wish there's a lot of this stuff in this world I ain't never seen. Now, don't you? There's a lot of stuff I've seen. I'd wish the Lord I'd never seen it. I've been up on wrecks. I've pulled up on wrecks coming home at night and dead people laying out in the road. I mean, that's a long time ago. That's in my mind just as plain as day. And then all the filth and the stuff, it's in your mind. It's the world. The first thing that woman ever seen was the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think right now, if Fanny Crosby could come back and be 25 years old and have her sight, that she'd do it? No way. She'd say, Lord, all things work together for good. I was blind, and you let me write 8,000 songs, and them songs being sung all over the world, and there's been untold millions of people been blessed by those songs she wrote. And it's all because she is blind. So y'all, cheer up, man. One preacher got up and told him, said, everybody cheer up. It's going to get worse. Amen? That's about the truth. But it's going to get better when we see Christ. Amen. Anybody got a comment or a question? Right quick. All right. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Now, Lord, I don't know who the message and the little lesson we taught tonight was for. God, I don't know who these little stories were for that I told tonight. God, I don't know who here tonight may be struggling. Dear God, I beg you in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost, touch us. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name, minister to that heart. Whoever it is here tonight that needs help, touch their hearts here this evening. Now, Lord God, do what ought to be done. Save lost souls. Bless us this Sunday as we meet. Bless Saturday morning as the bus workers go out. Power of God, move in here, we pray. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to visit Saturday morning at 9:30. Sunday school at 10. Don't miss it. Come praying. Everybody be friendly and fellowship before you go. God bless you. You're at liberty to go.